Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as we look back at a week number 17 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or you can, of course, hit me up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Cyril Quinn, or of course go to CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Call number is 347-215-6180. As always, we begin the program with the game of the week, and frankly one of the games of the year, to be honest with you. Green Bay falling to Minnesota 37-34. It was an absolute do or die game for the Minnesota Vikings because had they lost, Chicago would have been in the playoffs. Chicago took out Detroit. Minnesota though was able to pull it out. First time they've beaten Green Bay in five meetings. They improved to finish the season at 10-6. Green Bay finishes their season at 11-5. Still with a number three seed and a division win and a divisional champions of the NFL NFC North, but they lose the opportunity to have a first round bye, and will host the Minnesota Vikings, of course, Saturday night at Lambeau Field. Great game. Obviously, the story of this game was Adrian Peterson, who on 34 carries was able to gain 199 yards, had two touchdowns, one receiving, one rushing. Every big run Minnesota needed, Adrian Peterson was able to get. It's just that simple. I mean, like, you know, you thought that he was going to get the record after the first half. After the first half, it was evident that Green Bay had no answers for him. They had no answers for him all the entire season, as Peterson had over 400 yards rushing in the two games that he had that he faced when facing the Packers. But it was just a question of whether or not he was going to get enough, whether or not that, you know, Minnesota was going to get enough possessions. Thing that probably hurt him from getting it was the fact that Minnesota could not stop Green Bay on the offensive, on defensively. Great. Aaron Rodgers had a huge day, 28-40, 365, four touchdowns. Greg Jennings had a big day, a couple of touchdowns, over 100 yards receiving. Thing that you take out of this game, other than the greatness of Adrian Peterson, is the fact that Green Bay's defense, three things. One, Adrian Peterson. Two, Green Bay's defense. And three, you know, Christian Ponder. Green Bay's defense, you know, 2 years ago when Green Bay won the Super Bowl, they had a legit top five defense. And I thought that particular year that their defense was the best defense in football. I even thought it was better than Pittsburgh's, even though Pittsburgh was number one statistically. I thought Green Bay's defense, just all around, I thought it was the best defense in the league. to see where that defense is at right now, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, Christian Ponder, you know, it's one thing for Adrian Peterson to get 200 yards on you. Adrian Peterson can do that to anybody. He's just that good. But to sit up here and allow Christian Ponder to throw three touchdown passes, no interceptions, and make every big throw that he had to make, that's a joke. You have to be embarrassed. You know, you have to be embarrassed if you're Don Capers right now. I mean, that defense doesn't scare anyone going into the playoffs. And that's why I don't think Green Bay, you know, as in comparison to the last 2 years when I thought they were super legit Super Bowl contenders and could win the Super Bowl, I don't think Green Bay is coming out of the NFC. The offensive line is still shaky, but at least the offensive line has gotten it together somewhat over the past couple of weeks. Defensively, though, they're a joke. I mean, they're a joke. Not only their pass defense, their run defense. I mean, they're just all around. Now, Charles Woodson, they will have Charles Woodson back for the playoffs, but I don't know. You know, Charles Woodson can only fill so many holes. I mean, you're asking a guy, you know, I know he's a great player, you know, future Hall of Famer, but again, Matthews, not what he once was earlier this season with the injuries. I know B.J. Rodgers played a little bit better, but all around, the Green Bay defense is just it's atrocious. It's just horrible. So these two teams, of course, will meet up again Saturday night at Lambeau Field. Green Bay is an 8-point favorite. That might be too many points, to be honest with you, based on these two meetings. Both of these meetings that Green Bay and Minnesota had were close games. Only the turnovers did Minnesota in Lambeau Field the first time they met. So, again, Minnesota does what it has to do coming off a season where they were awful last year. I believe they were coming off of 3-13 last year. People were calling for Leslie Frazier's job. No one expected Minnesota to do anything. Now, listen, before the season, I thought Minnesota, you look at Minnesota, and they have some talent. You realize they do have talent at the skill positions, but there was no way that anybody could have foresaw Minnesota, you know, winning 10 games and coming up a game short of winning the division. Great story. Adrian Peterson, we'll talk about the MVP. Adrian Peterson, without question, is the offensive player of the year. He'll get that award. He'll certainly get that award. MVP, we'll talk about that later on in the program. But Minnesota gets the job done as Green Bay blows a opportunity to have a first-round bye, falling 37-34. Again, tremendous game. A lot of action. You know, if you're Green Bay, you're happy about the return of Greg Jennings. He seems to be back in the mix. They held out Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb probably won't be doing punt or kickoff returns, which is smart. So Green Bay offense, I mean, Green Bay, in order to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to outscore people. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, listen, Aaron Rodgers was great yesterday. I mean, 28-40, goes 28-40, 365, four touchdowns. I mean, what do you want him to do? I mean, you want him to be, you know, 30 of 35, you know, 500 yards and six touchdowns. He did everything he could do. He basically has to play perfect football for Green Bay to make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's all there is to it. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL Show, the final edition of the NFL Show for 2012, as we are just basically 3 hours and some change away from welcoming in 2013. Be safe out there tonight. So when we return, Black Monday. If your chances are, if you are a coach in the NFL or a general manager, chances are it was not your day. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cyril Quinn taking you until 9:30 as we discuss and look back at a week number 17 of NFL action. Of course, playoffs will start Saturday. We'll talk about the we'll preview the playoffs coming up later on in the program. A bloodbath of coaches and general managers who are out of a job. I mean, out of jobs this year. I mean, the NFL has never seen anything like this. You have seven coaches, five general managers, and one vice president who is out of a job. The one vice president story is hilarious because he didn't even know the Tennessee guy out of Tennessee. He didn't even know he was fired. You read that story. It's not funny. You don't like to see anybody lose their job, but it's funny, but it's not funny. Seven coaches. I'm going to deal with two of these coaches because five or six of them were not. None of these guys getting fired were a surprise, but I'll deal with two in particular, two coaches that went to Super Bowls and had, you know, very good regular season records. Shermer, Cornell. I'll go through the list real quick. Pat Shermer, of course, in Cleveland, gone. Romeo Cornell, Kansas City, gone. Chan Gailey in Buffalo, gone. Andy Reid, of course, Philly, North Turner, San Diego, Lovie Smith, Chicago, Ken Whisenhunt, Arizona, gone. The general managers, Gene Smith from Jacksonville, Mike Tannenbaum from the Jets, A.J. Smith from San Diego, Rod Grace from Arizona, Tom Heichert from Cleveland. A couple of guys that survived the purge. Rex Ryan still with the coach of the Jets. Mike Munchak still coaching the Tennessee Titans. Jim Schwartz, for now, he could be going about the end of this week out of Detroit. They're still looking into it. From what I understand, they're still looking into, you know, possibly making a move there. So he could be gone. Mike Mularkey could be gone from Jacksonville. Ron Rivera is a question mark as well in terms of Carolina. So seven coaches going, five general managers. I'll deal with two who went to the Super Bowl and led the teams to the Super Bowl and who both had high hopes going into this last season and this season. Lovie Smith and Andy Reid. And I'll take Lovie first. Lovie Smith, who already, by the way, is supposedly, you know, being looked at by four teams who fired the coaches. So already he has four interviews lined up. So if he wants to, he'll be coaching next year without question. You look at Lovie Smith's record, 81-63. He went to two NFC championships, went to the Super Bowl in 2006, that historical Super Bowl where you had, you know, two black coaches facing off in the Super Bowl for the first time ever with him and Tony Dungy. They lost that game, of course, to a better team with the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning. 2 years ago, they go to the NFC Championship. Unfortunately, of course, Jay Cutler gets hurt in that game. Green Bay was better anyway. You look at that, and that, you know, you look at those two situations, that was basically it as far as Lovie Smith went in terms of his record. Lovie Smith in nine seasons, and that's a long time in the NFL, a long time, 9 years. Nine seasons, Lovie Smith made a playoff, led Chicago to the playoffs three times, of course. You know, one of those times going to the Super Bowl, another time going to the NFC Championship. There was one other time that they were eliminated. I'm trying to think that year. It might have been his first year that they made to the playoffs and were put out in the divisional playoffs. I know the year that they made it, 2010, 2006 were the years where they were in the NFC Championship. There was one other year that they did make it to the playoffs and didn't make the playoffs. I don't think they won a game that year. But bottom line is, only three playoff appearances in nine seasons, only one playoff appearance in the last six seasons. That's, you know, making it to the Super Bowl. If you don't win a Super Bowl, just making it is not going to buy you that much. It's not going to buy you a couple extra years. You got to win the thing. And if you win a Super Bowl, then you could be like Brian Billick, and that can buy you maybe another year or two if you win it. But if you don't win it, then it's like, okay, you made the Super Bowl, but you didn't win it. That's the biggest difference in sports. The difference between the team that wins the Super Bowl versus the team that loses the Super Bowl. And bottom line is, Lovey had an ultimatum this year. It wasn't made public, but you know, within the Chicago organization, when they went out and got Brandon Marshall, okay, we have Jay Cutler, we have Matt Forte and Michael Bush, we have Brandon Marshall. No more excuses, period. You have great defense, good defense. You have your great special teams. We got your receiver. What are your excuses? He had to make the playoffs this year. He had to. Start the season 7-1. There's only a second time since the playoffs expanded to 12 teams that team that started off 7-1 and not made the playoffs. Ironically, my beloved Redskins were the last team to do so in 1996. I remember that year very well. The year to forget, to be honest with you. But it doesn't happen often. And for the second straight year, the Bears, after promising starts, you know, last year, around November, October last year, we were talking about the Bears as possibly a Super Bowl team. But, you know, they had excuses because Matt Forte and Jay Cutler got hurt. This year, it was no excuse. You're relatively healthy. You know, relatively healthy for the most part. The problem is, again, once their defense stopped turning people over, they fell apart. Offensively, couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything offensively. And you have Mike Marks as your offensive coordinator at one time. Tice is a disaster as offensive coordinator. I mean, they kept changing offensive coordinators and philosophies, and there's no continuity within their offense, and they had no offensive line, which, again, is reflective on, you know, if you're Lovie Smith, you gotta say, hey, we need to draft some linemen, period. So, you know, the players loved him. I heard a lot of interviews from Chicago players that did not like this decision. Cutler loved him. Devin Hester calling out fans, fake fans. The players in that locker room loved it. Lovie Smith was a respected and loved coach. Now, that can go one or two ways at that time, being a player's coach. Sometimes player coaches are not good because the players don't fear them. They like them. But I got the sense that Lovie was respected. But, again, 3 playoff appearances in 9 years is not going to get it done if you don't have a Super Bowl under your belt. The second big one, of course, was Andy Reid. And, of course, everybody knew Andy Reid was gone. Once it became evident that Philadelphia wasn't going to do anything this year, Jeffrey Lurie comes out and says that he had made the decision when the Eagles were 4-8. Remember what Jeffrey Lurie said before the season? 8-8 is not acceptable. Andy Reid, 14 years is an eternity in the NFL. And, you know, Philadelphia is going to be hard-pressed. And, again, they had to make this decision, but they will be hard-pressed to find a coach that replicates the success that Andy Reid obtained for them during his tenure at Philadelphia. I mean, 5 NFC Championship appearances, going to the Super Bowl once. I understand we won one of them, but unlike Lovie Smith, in 14 years, Andy Reid had only 3 losing seasons in 14 years, and made the playoffs 9 of the 14 years. That is tremendous. That's great, considering how hard it is to be good year in and year out in the NFL. Andy Reid will coach next year without question. It's a matter of where he wants to go. He will absolutely coach next year. He's given no end. There have already been rumblings that he was putting together his staff for 2013. So those two stick out. Again, the rest, with no surprise whatsoever. So, I mean, the rest of those guys, out of the guys who got fired, only two are going to coach. Again, next year, Wisman Hunt has a chance to coach maybe in the future because he didn't have a quarterback. When he had a quarterback, he went to the Super Bowl. But part of the reason why he didn't have a quarterback is the Kevin Cobb deal just backfired and set the franchise back. And again, the drafting of Matt Leiner, you know, set the franchise back as well. So, Wisman Hunt will get another chance in a couple of years to be a head coach again. But he's probably going to become a coordinator for at least 1 year. And shine there. When we return, we'll have the Redskin report for the newly crowned NFC East champion Washington Redskins. We'll be right back. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. Hail to the Redskins. Did you think on November 5th, a day after the Redskins dropped their third straight game to the Carolina Panthers, which was, to me, the low point of the season without question, losing that game to that team, who at the time was one of the worst teams in the league, and at home, which extended their home losing streak, by the way, at that time, to 8, I believe. Did you think that the Redskins would be divisional champions? 3-6. They going into a bye, and it just looked, you know, it looked just like, hey, chalk it up. Chalk up 2012. What's going to be, what's in the draft? Well, 7 wins later, your Washington Redskins are the NFC East champions for the first time since 1999 and will host a playoff game for the first time since 1999. Last night was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And it shouldn't even have been that hard, but it was still beautiful. Because you saw a difference between a franchise. You saw two franchises going in opposite directions, okay? What the Cowboys are now are what the Redskins have been for the most part, for the better part of the last 20 years. Okay, a bunch of big names with no cohesiveness. Now, maybe the Redskins haven't had a quarterback as good as Tony Romo, to be honest, just being fair about that. But still, big names, no cohesiveness, and an owner who doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue. And you saw a team, again, the Redskins last night, you know, I hear, well, you know, RG3 only threw the ball 18 times. You know, he was suspect. So RG18 only had 100 yards. He didn't need to throw the ball more than 18 times. When you can run the ball for 274 yards, keep running it. Keep running it. Why, you know, why would the Redskins stop running the football? Why stop running it? Because it was clear, it was evident that the Cowboys had no answer. Zero for the Redskins running game. None. One adjustment that the Redskins make, and listen, we can talk about Alfred Morris, who was off the charts. Certainly talk about Griffin, who despite only 100 yards rushing, did have 63 yards passing. I mean, rushing, despite only 100 yards passing, and did have a nice touchdown run. We can talk about them. To me, the MVP of this game didn't even play. The MVP of this game was on the sideline, Jim Haslett. The defensive scheme he had last night had Tony Romo's head spinning. I mean, Tony Romo didn't know what he was looking at. I mean, it was reminiscent of what Bill Belichick used to do to Peyton Manning, to be honest with you. It just confused him. I mean, Romo had no clue. The one adjustment that the Redskins made, and certainly I have to give Hazard credit for this from last game to this game, is first half of the Thanksgiving Day game, Redskins came after Romo. Romo threw 2 picks in that first half. They were up 28-6. Second half, they backed off. Romo caught fire and almost pulled off the game, and the Redskins almost blew the game, holding on, you know, 38-31. This game, they pressured Romo's route. They did not let up once. They blitzed on, I believe, every third down, I believe the Redskins blitzed on every Cowboy third down that they blitzed on. D'Angelo Hall was tremendous. Josh Wilson played was great. You know, Dez Bryant, who had been playing as well as any receiver in the league, you know, you hold him in check, 4 catches, 71 yards. Romo, we know about him. And I'm going to mention one quick thing about Romo before the segment's out. But, you know, we know 3 interceptions, all of them 3 atrocious interceptions. But, you know, the last interception, he was fooled. He never saw Rob Jackson. Never saw him. So the Redskins, you know, to me, and their defense has been – their defense has been much maligned over the course of the season. You look at it, looking up statistically, they finished, I believe, 28th in total defense. 22nd in points allowed, or 22nd in points allowed, top five in rushing, bottom half in passing. But the way their defense is playing right now, you could throw those stats out of the Empire State Building. It don't mean anything right now, the way their defense is playing. London Fletcher, Rob Jackson, you know, they are playing great football defensively right now, and their defense has been clutch for the majority of the season. They make big plays when they have to make them. I mean, that Rob Jackson interception is as big a play as it gets, considering, you know, Dallas had the momentum. Redskins had a chance to put the game away at 21-10, but Trent Williams gets a silly false start penalty on a 2nd-and-2 when the Redskins had a chance to run off at least two more minutes of clock and possibly get another score. But, you know, what a great defensive effort by the Redskins last night. And again, they had Tony Romo just befuddled throughout. Here's the one thing I'll say about, and this will be my last Cowboy point. Cowboys, you know, they're irrelevant to me right now. But I'll say this, way too much is being made about Tony Romo and big games and not coming up in big games. People talk about Tony Romo as if he's Alex Rodriguez, LeBron James, Dan Marino, Andre Agassi, you know, Yvon Linder. I'm bringing up guys and athletes who went a long time without winning a big one, and then finally broke through, with the exception of Dan Marino. You know, Yvon Linder was for years, oh, can he win a Grand Slam? He finally broke through in the French Open. Andre Agassi, the same thing. Can he win a Grand Slam? He finally broke through at Wimbledon. A-Rod, can he come up big in the postseason? He finally broke through in 2009. LeBron, same thing. The difference is, those guys that I just mentioned were all-time greats at their particular sports. Tony Romo is a very good quarterback. He's good. He has above-average talent, but a 10-cent head, okay? But Tony Romo, his legacy should not even be discussed ever. He's not on that level. I don't know why people talk about Tony Romo in that ilk. I don't get it. What legacy? Yeah, nobody cares about Tony Romo's legacy. Unless you're a Cowboy fan and he keeps losing these games for you, of course you care about it. But as somebody who's watched sports and followed sports for now going on, you know, about 28 years or so, I'm not going to be looking back 15, 20 years from now and be saying, man, Tony Romo could have been an all-time great. He won, blah, 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 so on, this game, that game. No. No. He's just not, like, you know, we judge quarterbacks. We the reason why Peyton Manning was so was ripped early in his career for not winning big games because we know Peyton Manning is one of the all-time greats as a quarterback in terms of his talent. Tony Romo is not as good. He's not as good as a Brady. He's not as good as Aaron Rodgers. He's not as good as a Breeze. He's not as good as Peyton Manning. He's not Brady. He's not on that level. Nowhere even close. And I wish people stopped trying to put him at this level that he's not. And stop being surprised when he doesn't come up big or being like, oh, he's blown it again. I mean, he is a good quarterback. Top, you know, dozen quarterbacks in the league. There are not that many great quarterbacks in the league. I mean, unless we had a little brief disconnection there. But, I mean, enough of the Tony Romo legacy talk. Enough. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, Redskins will play Seattle, will host Seattle. At FedEx next week in that late Sunday window at 4:30. Looking forward to that. When we return, close but no cigar, two teams that won their games but find themselves on the inside, on the outside looking in. We'll talk about those. Talk about the Giants and Bears when we return on this latest edition of The NFL Show will be right back. Minutes after the 9 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the NFL Show. Chick-fil-A Bowl going on right now. LSU is up 14-13. Clemson botched the extra point, so that's the difference in the game right now. Very good game so far. Obviously, ACC versus SEC. SEC, of course, dominated those matchups when they played going against ACC teams in bowl games and in the regular season as well. So, but right now, Clemson is hanging in there, just forced a LSU turnover as LSU was driving. So hopefully we can have a great finish to the, in the second half, as it looks like Clemson's going to go in down by one. Still, they had the ball, but they just had an interception. LSU, they just picked off the LSU quarterback. So maybe they can do something with these in this last 33 seconds with a couple timeouts left. Again, good game, 14-13. LSU leads Clemson in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Of course, tomorrow you'll have a great day of bowl games. With the New Year's Day bowl games, so Rose Bowl, of course, the granddaddy of them all. So that should be a fun football day. Really, the last big time college football day of the season. I don't like how they split up. Of course, I never have liked how they split up these BCS games and stretch them out until January 7th, culminating in the national championship with Alabama taking on Notre Dame. Chicago over Detroit, 26-24. Of course, Chicago falls short of making the playoffs by virtue of Minnesota winning. Finished the season at 10-6. Detroit 4-12. Jim Schwartz. If I were the owner of the general manager, Jim Schwartz would be gone. If I were running Detroit, without question, he has no control of that team. I don't ever see him regaining control of that team. Period. Chicago, of course, is going to look back at missed opportunities throughout the course of the season. The loss that hurt Chicago to me, and the loss that I think kind of got them in a spiral, was that Seattle game. And it kind of, I mean, and those, like, a couple weeks ago at home, you know, and that kind of, to me, propelled Seattle to making the playoffs set Chicago back. That was a tough loss, a game that Chicago probably should have won. At home, that loss, that to me was just, I'm not going to say it's a bad loss. Obviously, Seattle has played great football down the stretch, but that loss stands out to me as one of those, you know, shake your head losses with Chicago in terms of it just didn't seem like they did not recover from that particular game. Giants crushed Philadelphia 42-7. Of course, it meant nothing because of what Minnesota did. Giants, of course, needed a ton of help in order to get into the playoffs. Both Minnesota and Chicago winning, knocked the Giants out of any playoff contention. Giants have nobody to blame but themselves. Giants, you know, and I thought this after the Atlanta game that switch that they've been turning on for, you know, a couple years and a couple times they've won the Super Bowl championships. That switch, they just could not flip that switch, and we're not going to be able to. You can only go to the well so many times. You know, NFL is not a sport where you turn on and off. Too many games where the Giants just did not show up this year. Just baffling. You know, for them, they beat Green Bay by like 25 points. they lose, then they turn around and lose to Baltimore. They get destroyed by Baltimore and Atlanta back-to-back weeks. The Atlanta game told me that they would finish because, I mean, you just can't lose that game 34-0, all that, especially considering the fact that Atlanta really hadn't been blowing out anybody this year in terms of all the close games they had been in. So, you know, Giants are fine moving forward. You know, they'll get healthier. They draft well. I fully expect them to be right back in the mix for a Super Bowl, as a Super Bowl contender in 2013. But this year they were just getting too inconsistent. And again, you can only go to the well so many times before that well is dry. When we return, we'll have top five quarterbacks of the year. So we'll have that when we return on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Ten minutes after the 9 o'clock hour now on this latest edition of the NFL Show. As we look back at a week number 17 and also look ahead towards the NFL playoffs, top five quarterbacks of the year, I'll go from 5 to 1. Coming in number 5, RG3 finishes third in terms of quarterback rating, finished the season with 20 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions, led the NFL in yards per pass attempt, yards per completion, I should say, at 8.14. Tremendous rookie season. Should be the rookie of the year in my eyes. I think he'll share it with Luck, but I think he should win it outright myself based on the fact of just, he just changed the culture of a franchise, which is almost near, which is hard to do. And he definitely flipped the culture of the Redskins franchise moving forward. The Redskins are certainly going to be a team to be reckoned with for years to come. Matt Ryan comes in at number 4, third finishing, leading the Falcons to the best record in the AFC. In the AFC, number 1 seed, 13-3, 32 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Had a slump. Late November, early December, but broke out in the last couple games. Led the NFL in completion percentage at 68.6%. At 68.6%, tremendous year out of him. For almost 4,700 yards passing. Coming in at number 3, Aaron Rodgers, who was the number 1 rated quarterback in the league at 108.0, second straight year that he's been the top rated quarterback in the league. 39 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions, a phenomenal year, was sacked 51 times. And you could certainly make a case for him being MVP because, now he won't win. He'll probably finish top 5. He'll probably finish 3rd or 4th. But you think about it. He goes 39-8, okay? And he does it on a team with no running game, with a terrible defense, and with a bad offensive line. And they go 11-4, win a division, and in a tough division. Statistically, that division was the toughest division in football by the numbers because they had 3 10-win teams, Chicago and Minnesota, both won 10 games. So, you know, I think he had a very underrated year, to be honest with you. He had to carry that team on his back. Again, their defense was awful this year. As far as the defense was bad this year, no running game. He had a phenomenal year, but probably you know, because of the next two guys that I'm about to mention will not win MVP. Coming in at number two, Tom Brady led the New England to a ho-hum, another division title, 12-4, 34 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 4,800 yards passing. Another phenomenal year for Brady. Got some help, though, this year. I mean, Gronkowski, the running game was much better off this year. He slacked off a little, not slacked off, but tailed off a bit in the last couple of weeks. It looked like a few weeks ago when he was at 29 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, that he was going to win the MVP. But I don't think he's going to be the MVP this year. This next guy, I think, will be the MVP, and that's Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, 13-5, leads Denver to a 13-3 record, 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, finishes number two in terms of quarterback rating at 105.8. You want to know how valuable of a player Peyton Manning is? Look at Denver this year and look at Indianapolis last year. Indianapolis 2-14 last year, Denver 13-3 this year. That's why he will undoubtedly, at worst, share the MVP. Could win it outright, though. But he's going to get MVP number five. There's no question about it. Phenomenal year. I didn't think he would stay healthy for the better part of the year. For the entire 16-game schedule, proved me wrong. Played great. And has Denver in line for another possible a Super Bowl run without question. We'll continue looking over these games. San Francisco takes out at Arizona 27-13. San Francisco finishes 11-4-1. They will have a first round bye. Arizona, of course, you know the story with Kevin Wisenhunt. His fire finishes 5-11. Amazingly, Arizona was 4-0. That seems like it was happening about 20 years ago. Big game for Michael Crabtree, 8 catches, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. The thing that would concern me about San Francisco, there are two things. Number one, you know, again, you don't know how Colin Kaepernick is going to respond under pressure in the playoffs, but even more than that is David Akers. David Akers has been awful this year. And, you know, can you trust him to make a big kick in the playoffs the way he's been kicking? I'll be definitely concerned about that. If I'm a San Francisco 49er fan, anything less than a Super Bowl appearance for San Francisco is a failure, as far as I'm concerned. So, a lot of pressure on Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh with making that choice to go to Kaepernick. Cincinnati takes out Baltimore 23-17. Both teams finish at 10-6, but by virtue of better divisional records, Baltimore gets the divisional wins the AFC North. This game really was a nothing game. Baltimore, both teams had clinched playoff berths. Baltimore had clinched the division. Baltimore didn't hardly play as people. Baltimore will host Indianapolis next week. Cincinnati will be at Houston for the second straight year. Cincinnati goes back-to-back years of making the playoffs. Very impressive. For them. They really played great down the stretch after getting off to a very shaky start. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do next week playing against a struggling Houston Texan team. Houston Texans fall to 12-4. They lose 28-16 against Indianapolis. Indianapolis, of course, may be the story of the year as far as the team goes. Indianapolis finishes 11-5. Tremendous year out of Indianapolis. No one expected them to make the playoffs. They had every excuse to be terrible, you know, losing Peyton Manning, rookie quarterback, losing, you know, just about everybody minus, say, Reggie Wayne, you know, new coach, new everything. But, again, Bruce Arians deserves some coach of the year considerations considering the job he did. Pagano, of course, is back. Very interesting to watch Indianapolis take on Baltimore. Certainly a winnable game for Indianapolis against Baltimore, but they don't have to do anything in the playoffs. I mean, just anything moving forward will be gravy for the Indianapolis Colts. Denver crushes Kansas City 38-3. Denver finishes on a hot streak, winning 11 straight, 13-3. Kansas City will have the number one pick a year too late. No quarterbacks did that even come close to being worthy of a number one pick. Peyton Manning finishes 304 yards, 3 touchdowns. Here's Denver's last 11 wins. And in order, San Diego, New Orleans, Cincinnati, Carolina, San Diego again, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Oakland, Baltimore, Cleveland, Kansas City. Not exactly a who's who list of teams. So, again, I do think Denver is capable of winning the Super Bowl and going to the Super Bowl, but be careful before you pencil in Denver as a just as a team to beat. Be careful. When we return, I will we'll discuss the playoff matchups, and I will give you my MVP, and I will tell you who's the MVP of the league or MVPs of the league. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the NFL show, as we discuss a week number 17 of NFL action, of course, playoffs will be coming up Saturday night. Here's the schedule. It will kick off with Houston hosting Cincinnati. Cincinnati catching Houston at the right time. Houston is not playing well right now. Houston was 11-1, had an opportunity to wrap up home field and should have wrapped up home field. Losing to Minnesota, they had some, you know, suspect losses. Losing at home to Minnesota, you know, not being able to, and just, you know, the thing about Houston is, you know, did they peak too early? I mean, you wonder about that when watching them. You don't see teams just flip the switch when they're not playing well going into the playoffs. So certainly a winnable game for Cincinnati going to Reliance Stadium without question. So that will kick off the playoff action at 4:30. The Saturday night game on NBC, Green Bay, Minnesota. Green Bay favored by 8, though. I might take those points considering that, you know, Green Bay has had no answer for Adrian Peterson in 2 games that they've played. Peterson has ran wild on Green Bay. Favor Green Bay, but again, should be a very, very good game at Lambeau Field. Green Bay just 2-4 in his last 6 home playoff games, so another thing to keep in mind. Sunday afternoon, we'll get kicked off with the CBS game, Baltimore hosting Indianapolis. Indianapolis, of course, coming in with a rookie quarterback, Andrew Luck. Baltimore, who knows which Baltimore team will show up. Hard to get a read on Baltimore right now in terms of where their team is at. Though Joe Flacco has won at least 1 playoff game in 4 straight years, his first 4 years in the league, so keep that in mind. Baltimore has been a good postseason team. They have been a good postseason team as far as at least they don't normally go, they're not normally one and done. So that is something to in recent memory they've at worst made it to the divisional round, been to a couple AFC championships. Seattle hosting Washington, Washington hosting Seattle, of course, in that 4:00, 4:30 game, Fox on Fox. Certainly Joe Buck, Troy Aikman will do that game. Again, should be a very evenly matched game with these two teams on mirror images, both with running quarterbacks, great running games, and aggressive defenses. Both teams are hot, playing. Both teams are playing as well as any team. You know, both teams are playing, along with Denver playing as well as any team. Two teams in the NFL should be again a very good game. Remember, Seattle 3-5 on the road, and you know, West Coast teams have tended to struggle going from west to east. So that should certainly favor the Redskins in that particular matchup. But again, Seattle is playing great football right now, and that should be a very, very good game to watch in that late 4:30 on that late Sunday window. When we return, I'll tell you who I would select as the MVP of the league. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour in this last edition of the NFL Show. Of course, MVP should be coming out in a couple of weeks, or maybe in a week or so. I would split the award between Adrian Peterson and Peyton Manning. I don't see how you cannot give Adrian Peterson, and there are a number of people out there who think Adrian Peterson should win it straight up, flat out, without by himself. I disagree with that because, look at Indianapolis without Peyton Manning last year. Look at Denver with Peyton Manning this year. That just shows you, you know, gives you a sense of how valuable he is to that front. You know, of a player that he is. I mean, Denver goes from, you know, Indianapolis goes from a playoff team to the worst team in the league. Denver goes from a playoff team to a Super Bowl contender. So, you cannot dismiss that when it comes to Peyton Manning. I would split the award. Adrian Peterson has to share that award. 2,000 rushing, over 2,000 rushing yards on a playoff team when he carried that team. I mean, Christian Ponder is an average quarterback at best. They have no receivers with Harvin hurt at this point. They're throwing guys like, you know, Michael Jenkins, guys you've never heard of, basically. Offensive line is good, but it's not what it used to be. Defense, pretty good, but again, not great. I mean, he single-handedly carried that team to the playoffs, winning 10 games. I don't see how he does not get a share of the MVP. I mentioned that he's a shoo-in for offensive player of the year. That goes without saying, but Adrian Peterson has to get a share of the MVP award. You can't leave Peyton Manning out of the equation. Considering what he did this year for the Denver Broncos. Again, I know he made the playoffs last year, but last year they were not Super Bowl contenders last year. This year they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders, without question. You look at the playoffs this year. You have you had some turnover as a comparison to last year. Very little turnover in the AFC. Only one team didn't make it that made it last year in the AFC, and that was Pittsburgh. Everybody else is the same. I mean, Baltimore, New England, Denver. Yeah, Baltimore, New England, Denver, Cincinnati all were in the playoffs last year. I'm leaving a team out of the mix. Leaving a team out, of course, of that six teams. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Denver, New England, all were in the playoffs last year. Again, no Pittsburgh this year as a comparison to last year. You get New England in the mix. Get New England in the mix this year. So very little turnover in the AFC. NFC, no New Orleans, no Giants. As a comparison, you know, replace them, you know, with Washington and Seattle, you know, San Francisco, Green Bay, and Minnesota as well. So you had three new teams in the NFC, in New England, in Minnesota, Washington, Minnesota, Washington, and Seattle. Listen, I think it's wide open. I think there's no way that you can say that there's no dominant teams. I think five out of the six NFC teams could get to the Super Bowl. I think in the AFC, I could see – in Houston. Houston was in the playoffs last year. They were the team that I forgot about. I think in the AFC, it's a two-horse race as far as I'm concerned. New England and Denver, I'll be shocked if one of those two teams isn't representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I don't trust Houston. I don't know where Baltimore's at right now and the other two teams. Just frankly, the other two teams are just not good enough in Cincinnati and Indianapolis. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Of course, we'll be back with the Cyril Quinn Wake Up Show on Saturday. I will see you next time. And Happy New Year. 2013 to everybody out there. Be safe. So long.